Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to all of my precious brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. Happy New Year to all the saints of God, and we're looking forward to a spectacular 2017. Spectacular because it's just got to be that. If Jesus Christ is in your life, you know, all you need is Christ. All you need is His Bible. All you need is the Holy Spirit. And you have that. If you're a believer, you have Christ, you have God the Father, you have the Scriptures, you have the Holy Ghost, and we have one another. We have the community of the saints. We have the family of God. We have the remnant church. We have the underground body of believers. And if you have that, this year is going to be spectacular. This year commemorates the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And if you're not excited about that, then I don't know. I don't know what can get you excited. I mean, I'm excited about the fact that we are celebrating. We are celebrating the fact that we are Protestants. Someone 500 years ago stood up to the Roman Catholic Church and said no more of the abuses. And you and I are spiritual descendants of that group of people. We are the descendants of the reformers. We are Protestants. We are protesting even till this day. We are protesting, and the protest continues, despite what Rome says, despite what some crazy groups of so-called Christians say. No, the Reformation, they don't speak for you, they don't speak for me. The Reformation continues. at least I'm gonna make sure, if one person is gonna make sure that it goes on, it's gonna be me. And if you're tuning in, I know it also means you. I don't have to cry like the prophet Elijah. I don't have to ask God to kill me because I'm the only one left. No, God reminds us in his word that he has 7,000. According to Romans, it says, and God put aside, according to the election of grace, God put aside a remnant, 7,000 that will not bow their knees to Baal. And my wife was asking me, why are you putting on that creepy music? I mean, that's satanic music. Why are you putting on the theme song of The Omen? And I said, because we need to scare people. Christians are asleep. Too many Christians are complacent. And maybe if I play the music, it'll scare them. It'll wake them up. It'll let them know that we're in the last days, that the days are evil, that we need to redeem the time, that the goofing off needs to stop, that we need to get serious about what we need to do for God. Here it is. Here's a little bit more of The Omen. Saints, you think the devil's taken off? I mean, you think, now I have to realize that not everyone who tunes into this program is like me. I have to realize that. Not everyone breathes and sleeps reformation. Not everyone is as excited about Protestantism as I am. Not everyone who tunes into this broadcast is a loudmouth like me. I realize that people need a day off. In fact, I was even thinking about maybe shortening the broadcast instead of going 2 hours, just doing an hour, because maybe I'm too long-winded. Maybe I just give people too much. And, people are still on vacation mode. I wanted to get on the air. I mean, I would love to be on the air every day. But then I look at the numbers and people tune in and then they don't tune in. They tune in. They don't tune in. So I don't do more broadcasts because I'm giving people an opportunity to catch up. I mean, maybe I go too fast for people, or maybe I serve too much. I've been known for that. I've been known, even when I pastored. When I pastored, I preached every day. That's right. I taught every day. On Sundays, I taught 5, 6, 7 times a day on Sunday. And, I mean, I just didn't talk the talk. I mean, I was making sense. But maybe I'm overfeeding people. But okay, so maybe I'm feeding you too much. But folks, we can't do this on a part-time basis. We can't. The devil's not doing what he's doing on a part-time basis. His emissaries are not doing what they're doing on a part-time basis. They're gung-ho. The devil's gung-ho. His ministers are gung-ho. Do you see any of those guys on the Word Network taking a day off? Do you see any of these guys taking a day off on TVN, on BET, on the Impact Network, on God TV? You see any of these fleecers taking a day off? They're on all the time. Even a guy like Rod Parsley, who has throat cancer. Even that guy, have you seen Eddie Long lately? Eddie Long looks like a skeleton. Eddie Long. Does he take off on Sunday? No. He shows up to scam his people, and he looks like a skeleton. He looks like he walked out of a coffin. Eddie Long doesn't take off. That minister of Satan doesn't take off. And he's dying. And he's going to keep scamming and fleecing and asking people for all kinds of crazy offerings until he gives up the ghost. Satan has committed people. And that's why we can't take off, folks, because those of us, first of all, those of us who are on Christ's side, we're in the minority. We are outnumbered. We are outnumbered. The people we have on our side, our team is small. It's a small team. We have a handful of people. Like the prophet Elijah said, I alone am left. And then God had to say, no, there's 7,000. You think 7,000 is a lot? That's a handful. Compared to the tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands that were on Satan's side, 7,000 is just a handful. Thank God for the 7,000. Thank God for the fact that he has put aside, according to the election of grace, 7,000. Thank God for that. But we're in the minority. And Satan has tens of thousands of people that when the minister says, run up here and give me a first fruits offering, I mean, they're stampeding to get to the preacher. And he's ripping them off. She's ripping them off. But they're stampeding. And we just don't have enough people on our side. So we're understaffed. We have no resources. I mean, there's a lot of things I would love to do for Christ. And I don't have two nickels to rub together. I have a great and mighty God who allows me to do all that I do with only two nickels. Because all the stuff that I do, and I do it by the grace of God alone, because it is he who empowers me, but I have to be very creative because I got a couple of shekels. That's all I have. I have a couple of shekels to do what I do. Can you imagine what we would be able to do if we had Rob Parsley's budget? And most of the people who do what we do, what I do, are just like me. They only have a few shekels, and yet, by the grace of God, they do miracles. We do miracles. Folks, this is the global ministry. You know, Blog Talk Radio tells me from where they're tuning around the world, this is an international broadcast. There are people tuning in. I mean, I got people from all over the world tuning into this broadcast. I have to fund it two shekels. Two shekels. So we're understaffed. We are underfunded. And really, we're opposed. And yet, look what God does. Look how God uses us to do mighty things in this hour. So we can't take off, folks. We can't afford to take off. We can't afford. Now, I take off. I wanted to be on the air yesterday. One of my elderly neighbors had an emergency, so I had to go help that person. And in helping that person, I was not back in time to get the broadcast off the air. And I had to help this person. This person had no one who can help them. So I had to be a good Christian in my Jerusalem. Time I came back, the program hour had passed. I just didn't come back in time. I would have been on yesterday. And what I did was I took yesterday to pray, research, go to my library, start pulling stuff out, and just getting ready to do some more things. So an opportunity is missed, and you don't take the day off. I couldn't take the day off. I had to go do some other things. We can't afford to take days off. And I give people days off because, I'm going too fast, I guess. I'm feeding too much. Now, don't forget to purchase your copy of Jackass Bishops and purchase a copy for yourself. Purchase a copy for a friend, a coworker, a relative, someone you know who is sitting under one of these asinine bishops. Get them a copy of the book. Get them a copy of the book. Be a blessing to this ministry. Help us by making a donation for the book. And when you make that donation for the book, we use that money, we turn around, and we're able to get the other stuff done. Because this is not a money-making venture. There's no salaries here. We use every penny that comes in to put out the other books. So if you haven't gotten your copy of Jackass Bishops, do so. We didn't write this so that anybody can get rich. No one's going to get rich from this. We wrote it to educate people, to have their eyes opened, to set them free. That's why we wrote this series of books. And we have something new coming up this Friday. This Friday and every other Friday, if God wills it and if God permits it, I plan to have someone doing the broadcast with me, my dear sister Marie. I'm going to have my sister Marie come on the broadcast, and she's going to read some things on the broadcast. She's going to make us aware of what's going on around the world. While I have my head in the library, while I have my head in books, while I'm doing research and writing and doing some things, my dear sister Marie is on the internet. She is looking for new developments of how the Roman Catholic Church is invading Christendom. And so she's going to come on. She's going to talk. She's going to share. I'm going to share with the audience as she's sharing. And then we're going to open up the phone lines. So every Friday, starting at 7 p.m., we're going to go from 7 to 9 p.m. We're going to open up the phone lines, and we're going to talk about what the Roman Catholic Church is trying to do to the Protestant Church. And like I said, I've done a lot of radio before, but this is the first time that we're going to open up the phone lines. And here's the caveat. If anybody gets silly, if anybody gets stupid, if anyone starts talking gibberish, it's very simple. I will disconnect the line. If you're calling to attack, I'll just mute your phone, and then I'll disconnect you. We are going to have on Friday nights a very, very, very educational broadcast. We can debate, we can talk, but you have to behave yourself. We're not going to allow silly folk to get on and spew nonsense. If you're going to call up and say, touch not the Lord's anointed, I'm going to hang up. You'll be off the air in a what do they say, a New York second, New York minute? You'll be off the air in a flash. Those are the rules. This is the Lord's broadcast. And in this broadcast, we honor the Lord. We glorify the Lord. And we do all to the glory of Christ. This is not about glorifying a host or a radio broadcast. This is about Jesus. This is about glorifying Jesus and feeding the sheep. And so this Friday, spread the word, tune in this Friday. And we're going to have a lot to talk about on Friday, and hopefully when the phones come on, you can, if you read Jackass Bishops, if you purchased the book and you read it, we would love to have your comments. We would love to have you say what you would like to say about the book. And if you have any questions about the book, you can call in. And so it's going to be great on Friday nights. It's going to be different. And it's a broadcast in which we're allowing you to tune in, and if you want to, you can participate. But remember the rules. If you call in and you act, if I hear foolishness coming out, you're going to hear disconnect sound. When I taught in Bible college and seminary for many, many years, when I lectured, I didn't take questions. I could lecture for an hour and a half, 2 hours, no questions. I wasn't there to hear what you had to say. You were there to hear what I, the professor, had to say. Now in my old age, I'm mellowing out, and I'll take a few comments and a few questions. If you behave yourself. And so we don't. And the other thing is, you know, if you talk foolishness, I don't want to embarrass you. If you're going to get on the broadcast to defend some clown out there on the Word Network, or I'll embarrass you. I will biblically put you in your place. If you act like a clown, if you act like a buffoon, those of you who've been listening to me for a long time know that I don't play. So if you want to have an intelligent discussion, by all means, call in. By all means, if you have a question, if you need to be enlightened on something, if you need clarification, by all means, call in. We're going to love on you. And we'll take you through the scriptures. And we're going to do the best that we can to give you the answer that will most help you. So join me. The Meridas coming Friday, as we talk about a wide range of things. We're going to talk about a lot of things. So let's see. Let's tune in Friday, 7 p.m. from 7 to 9. Now, today I want to talk to you about the mystery of stupidity. The mystery of what? Stupidity. And you just know that there's a lot of stupidity out there. You just know it. You look at the church and you say, "My goodness gracious, how can people be so stupid? How can people be so stupid?" The mystery of stupidity. Now, the Bible talks about the mystery of iniquity. So I'd like you to open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we want to read about the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. And I'll use that term that Paul gave in us. In writing to the Thessalonians, I'll use the mystery of iniquity to explain the mystery of stupidity. So we want to go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Turn there and let's read.
Chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand.
Now, in these first two verses, the Apostle Paul is talking about the return of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the second coming of the Lord. And he's heard through the grapevine that the Thessalonians have become rattled in mind because there are some false teachers coming around saying that the second coming of Christ already took place. So he says, listen, don't pay that any mind. And I'm going to explain to you, as I have already done in my first visit among you, I'm going to explain to you this thing about the second coming of Christ. So let's pick it up at verse 3, where he admonishes the Thessalonians not to let any man, any preacher, any false prophet, any con man deceive them. So we want to read now, starting at verse 3.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
There you have it. He goes on to explain that first there must be a falling away. People, there's going to come a time when people shall depart from the faith. They shall depart from the scriptures. They shall depart from the truth and shall give heed to seducing spirits. And remember, we covered that, seducing spirits. And that's why when you watch TBN and you watch the Word Network and you watch the God TV and you watch the Impact Network and all of the other networks, Daystar, when you watch those broadcasts, most of those preachers, 99.9% of the preachers that appear on those networks are all con men. Why? Because Paul said in the last days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. It is these falling angels who are seducing spirits who are using these con men to deceive. And that's why there's so many of them on all of the networks. So Paul says, first, there has to be a falling away. Then he goes on to say in verse 7. Now let's look at verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity is already at work. The mystery of iniquity. And that's what I want to focus on. Now, the word mystery is the Greek word musturion. Musturion. And it means secrets. A mystery is a secret. And so in biblical teaching, as well as in pagan teaching, there's what a thing called sacred secrets. Sacred secrets. S-A-C-R-E-D. Sacred secrets. And Christianity has its sacred secrets, its mysteries, and so does everything else that the devil has put forth as a form of religion. They are what we call mystery religions. Mystery religions. And so Paul says, he says, the mystery of iniquity. So this mystery has nothing to do with the kingdom of God and everything to do with the kingdom of Satan. The mystery of iniquity. So Paul is saying, listen, let me let you in on a little secret. And the secret is that iniquity shall abound. He says, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. So what is iniquity? Well, iniquity in this context is the Greek word anomia, anomia. A, the A prefix, the alpha prefix, the A is no, not, and nomos is law, law, law. So Paul, what Paul is saying, the mystery of lawlessness. See, anomia means an absence of law. All law has been removed. When all law has been removed, then you have what we call anarchy. Anarchy. Remember, the God of the Bible is the God of creation and order, and Satan is the God of chaos. 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 Anarchy. God is a God of government. Satan is a God of anarchy. That's why you never say God caused this church to split. Church splits are always created by the devil, because God is not the author of what? Confusion. God is not the author of order. So Paul says, one of the things that you will notice already in our hour, Paul says, is that the mystery of lawlessness or the absence of law is already at work. And as you can see today, there's no law in the church. Anything goes in the church. All holiness laws have been, you know, when you and I were growing up in the church back in the 60s, in the 70s, they had strict holiness laws. Does anybody preach about holiness anymore? No, they do not. You look at the church service, and you will even see that there is no dress code. There is no dress code. There's no dress code for the choir. There's no dress code for the worship leaders. I mean, you look at church services, and you'll see the worship leaders up there with such tight clothing, standing in front of the crowd. There is no, and if you try to say, but aren't there laws? They'll tell you, oh, you're being religious. Oh, you're just like the Pharisees. You're just like the scribes. You want laws. Well, I don't want man-made laws. You don't want man-made laws. But we do want biblical law to prevail. We do want biblical law to prevail. But as you will see, and Paul said it in his day, the mystery of iniquity. In other words, what Paul was saying was, he says, you can already see that lawlessness is coming into style. The mystery of iniquity is already at work. Now, the mystery means that when Satan wrote down his plans for the last times, for the end times, one of the things that Satan wanted to spread was what? Lawlessness. Now, Paul and the apostles were not privy. When Satan sat down with his demons and he came up with his game plan for the end times, Paul and the apostles privy. They were not privy to what Satan and his demons were planning. So Paul says, I got this via the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit showed me that one of the features of the end times is that there would be iniquity, no law, the absence of law. And when there is the absence of law, then you have rampant violation of God's law. So he says the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Well, by the same token, we can say that the mystery of stupidity is also at work. the mystery of stupidity. What is stupidity? Well, let me just read to you what stupidity is. When we're talking about stupidity, we're talking about lack of intelligence. Lack of intelligence. Haven't you seen in the church that there's a lack of intelligence? Haven't you seen that Satan is having his way in church services? People don't even know that Satan is having his way. Why is that? Because Satan has an agenda to dumb people down. Satan has been dumbing people down. And if he dumbs them down, if he makes them stupid, and stupidity simply means lack of intelligence. They have no intel. You know, the FBI, the CIA in this country, I mean, they operate on intel, intelligence. That's how they try to keep us safe. From what? Who are they trying to keep us safe from? From those who would want to do us harm. From the radical Islamist. If we had no intel, if this country did, you know, ignored intel, if they ignored intelligence, then the radical Islamic terrorists would be blowing up malls today and schools today. But the CIA and the FBI and all of those involved in the intelligence agencies, what are they doing? They're listening. They're listening for chatter. They're listening for intel. And why? Because if you're stupid, you're vulnerable. If you're stupid, you're doomed. If you lack intelligence, you are an easy mark. So now we have in the church, the mystery of stupidity. Well, what do you mean by that, brother? Well, it wasn't just Satan's plan to have lawlessness. It was also Satan's plan to have what? Lack of intelligence. You know, when you look at the Roman Catholic Church, it is the Roman Catholic Church who plunged the world. It was the Roman Catholic Church who plunged the world into the Dark Ages. Rome loves to make people stupid. Rome is the principal tool of the devil to dumb people down. And I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to show you how the mystery of stupidity is already at work. In fact, the mystery of stupidity is way ahead. The agenda of the mystery of stupidity is way ahead of the agenda of the mystery of iniquity. Because we still have laws. Now, they're almost being erased. The laws that keep us safe, they're almost being, like for example, the family unit, one man, one woman. Well, that's being erased now. How do we know? Well, now same-sex marriage. How about the usage of bathrooms where, you know, you needed to be a man to go into the men's bathroom, and you needed to be a woman to, well, now they're allowing, if you feel you're transgender, if you feel like you're really a woman instead of a man, you can go. It's okay for you to go into the women's bathroom. Now you have all the components of a man, but it's okay for you to go into the women's bathroom. See, laws are being erased. Laws. The laws for those who should be pastors. You go to the church today. Someone sent me a clip of Paula White. And I was listening to it early this morning, and here is Paula White, and she named her husband. She says, well, I should call my husband pastor. Now, this is a guy who's not even saved. She's not saved, and she's a pastor. And here is her husband who's a rock and roller, who goes on tour every year to play satanic music, who sells wine. He grows grapes and processes it into wine. And he sells wine for a living. One of his companies is a wine selling company to get people high and boozed up. And she says, I'm going to have to start calling him pastor. See, the mystery of iniquity, the laws, the biblical laws by which a church was to be governed, all of that is going by the wayside. Yet, I can tell you with certainty that the agenda of the mystery of stupidity is way ahead of the agenda of the mystery of iniquity. Why? Well, because Satan is doing things in church, in front of church folk, and they don't even know what Satan is doing. Let me give you an example. Here you have, there's a mass going on in Rome. There's a mass. The mass is being run by Pope Francis. Pope Francis is presiding over this Roman Catholic mass. And in this mass, they are singing songs to Lucifer, and they are saying, Lucifer, you are God. Now, I'm going to play it for you. Let me play this for you. And let me show you that they are singing, and they are saying, Lucifer, you are God. Okay? Here it is.
Lama Deus, Lucifer Matutinus inveniat.
Now, when you hear Lucifer, that's Lucifer, the same Lucifer of Isaiah 14, whom God had to smack down. You read Isaiah 14, starting at verse 11 and following, and God had to give Lucifer a big-time smackdown. Now, this guy who is the cantor, he's the singer. He is leading the mass in worship, and they are declaring Lucifer to be God. Here it is again.
Deus, Lucifer matutinus inveniat. Ile in quam Lucifer qui nescit occasum, Christus filius tuus, qui regressus ab inferis, humano generis serenus iluxit, et tecum vivit et regnat in saecula saeculorum.
Now, the reply from the congregation is amen. Okay, Lucifer is God, amen. Not only are they saying Lucifer is God, but then they're saying, and Christ Jesus is his son. So, it's bad. Lucifer is God, and Jesus Christ is his son. And the people are saying amen. Now, folks, these are Italian folk. They understand word per word what is being said. They understand that they're saying in the Latin Mass, Lucifer is God, Christ Jesus is his son. And they reply. These are people who know the language. These aren't Americans. These aren't Germans. These are not Canadians. These are Italian folk who understand clearly what is being said. And what is being said is, Lucifer is God, Jesus Christ is his son. And at the end, they reply by saying what? Amen. We agree. How can the Pope get these people to agree to two lies. The first lie is Lucifer is God. He's not God. Lucifer is a fallen angel. Secondly, Jesus Christ is not Lucifer's son. How can the Pope, how can the Roman Catholic Curia get thousands of people inside of St. Peter's Basilica? How can they get these people who know the language, how can they get them to say, we agree, amen? Well, the reason is the Roman Catholic Church has dumbed down their people. Why? The Roman Catholic Church for centuries has told people you have no need to read the Bible. So if you take the book away from the people, they'll say amen to anything. Because the Roman Catholic Church, they didn't take away the language, they took away the book. So the Roman Catholic Church says you don't need to read the Bible for yourself. All you need to do is we will teach you, and you will accept our teachings. So all of those people inside of St. Peter's Basilica, they don't read their Bibles. They don't know Isaiah 14. They don't know that Lucifer is really Satan. They don't know. Why? Because they don't search the scriptures. They do not search the scriptures. They don't. They're told to stay away from the scriptures, that unless the church teach you, you cannot understand the scriptures. You are too stupid in and of yourself to come to an understanding. You need the church. You need your parish priest. You need your diocesan bishop to tell you what the Bible really means. You are incapable of discerning that for yourself. Therefore, don't even bother reading the Bible. And that's why the thousands of people inside St. Peter's Basilica on this particular day were saying amen to the fact that Lucifer is God and Jesus Christ is his son. Now, they understood the language. It's not like this place was filled with Americans who didn't know what was being said. No. These are Italians. They know precisely what's being said, but they don't know what's in the book. They know the language, but they don't know the Bible. And they're told from birth, you don't challenge the church. You don't question the church. The Pope is infallible. And if the Pope is presiding over the Mass and he says that Lucifer is God, and Jesus Christ is his son, how dare you question the Pope? He's the Holy Father. He's the shepherd of the church universal. Now, these are people who understand the language, but are ignorant because they don't know the Bible. They've been dumbed down. So you see, the mystery of stupidity is already at work. But here's another thing. Now you have African American bishops going to Rome and submitting to the Pope. Here you have people who supposedly read their Bible, have their shelves lined with commentaries and Bible encyclopedias and Bible. I mean, they have in their offices these bishops, supposedly. I mean, they have a vast library. And yet they are running to Rome to have an audience with the very same guy who presided over a mass which said that Lucifer is God. Lucifer is God, and Jesus Christ is his son. And why is that? Because again, the Pope has dumbed down the African-American church and is dumbing down a lot of other churches, by the way, not just the African-American. So the dumbing down, the mystery of stupidity is already at work. There is a lack of intelligence and an abundance of foolishness and ignorance in the church today. There's a lack of intelligence. And so when you lack intelligence, the enemy can do whatever he wants to do to you. It's just that simple. Why would these African-American bishops get dressed in Roman Catholic outfits? Why? Why would they take the blueprint of a Roman Catholic ordination and use that to ordain their bishops verbatim in the United States? Why would you want to copy Rome? Why would you want to have an allegiance? Why would you want to submit to the Holy Father? And he's really not holy. Why? Because you're stupid. Because the mystery of iniquity is already, and you read, you need to read that entire second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. You need to read it from verse 1 all the way through verse number 12. It's not just verse 7 where it talks about the mystery of iniquity. No, you need to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 3, all the way up to verse 12, because all of it gives you a grand picture. This is how we remedy the mystery of stupidity. This is how we should counter this work of the devil. This is how we should do it. Number one, you and I should decide that we are not going to be ignorant. Take a stand and say, I refuse to be ignorant. You have to make up your mind that you're going to stop drinking the Kool-Aid. You have to make up your mind. You got to take a stand. I am not going to be ignorant anymore. If I was in the past, I refuse to be ignorant from this day forward. And that's what this broadcast is all about. That's what all of these books on the Roman Catholic invasion of the black church is all about. Why? Because we want people to wake up and say, I will no longer be ignorant. What is ignorant? When somebody says you're ignorant, in the black church they say ignorant. I heard some preachers say, don't be ignorant. Well, it's not ignorant. That's the way Paula White says it. But it's not ignorant, because that's the way ignorant folk pronounce it. It's ignorant. To be ignorant means you start by ignoring stuff. You see, the way you become ignorant says, you know what, I'm going to ignore this, I'm going to ignore that. Now, those who are involved in the intelligence community, those who gather intelligence, those who protect us from terrorists, they don't ignore anything. You don't ignore anything. And that's one of the reasons why we're going to have Sister Marie on Fridays, because, you know, I have my head in the books, and we're writing, we're researching, we're doing, and I don't have my head in everything. So there's an old saying, two heads are better than one. So Sister Marie's going to come on, and if we're ignorant, if I'm ignorant, if you're ignorant to some things that are going on in the church, she's going to remind us, don't ignore this. Don't ignore, look, something happened yesterday. Let us not ignore this. Let us not ignore that. Let us not ignore this other. Because the moment you start ignoring things, ignorance begins to set in. Ignorance begins by ignoring. And when you ignore a lot, when you get into the habit of ignoring, then you become ignorant. And when you become completely ignorant, then you become an ignoramus. You see the progression? So you don't want to be called an ignoramus. An ignoramus is a person who repeatedly ignores. You don't want to be an ignoramus. You don't want to be called a retard. Do you want to be called the retard? Do you want people to refer to you as a retard? Then don't be what? Ignorant. Don't be ignorant. The Apostle Paul repeatedly said to the churches that he wrote to, he says, don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. For example, let me just give you some scriptures. Let's go to Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, very quickly. Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, verse 3, for they, speaking of the Jews, being ignorant of God's righteousness, or God, the word righteousness there simply means God's salvation plan. For they, being ignorant of God's salvation plan, went about to establish their own salvation plan and did not submit themselves to God's salvation plan. Let me read that again. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and righteousness there simply means salvation program. They, being ignorant of God's salvation program, went about to establish their own salvation program and did not submit themselves to God's salvation program. As a result, those people were lost. Why? Because they ignored what God was saying. That's Paul writing. So in Romans, and look, you can look it up. Just get your concordance and you'll see how many times the Apostle Paul says, I would not want you to be ignorant, brethren. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote so many letters, because he didn't want people to be ignorant. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 10:1, and boy, did the Apostle Paul have a lot of problem with those ignorant Corinthians. Oh, they gave the Apostle Paul so many headaches, those ignorant Corinthians. But he writes to them in chapter 10, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. And he goes on to say, ignorant about what? Ignorant about their relationship to the Jewish church. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you what? Ignorant. Ignorant. I don't want you to be stupid when it comes to spiritual gifts. And boy, is the church stupid today when it comes. I mean, when you see what goes on in the name of spiritual gifts, you have to say these people are stupid and crazy. But Paul wrote to us so that we wouldn't be ignorant. In 1 Corinthians 14:38, Paul says something very interesting. He says, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now, in the Greek, it reads like this. If any man be ignorant, ignore him. If you have an ignoramus in the pulpit, ignore him. If you have a jackass in the pulpit, ignore him. If you have a buffoon in the pulpit, ignore him. You don't listen to ignoramuses. Paul says, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Well, that's not what Paul says. It's not a good translation. He simply says, if a man is ignorant, walk away. Ignore him. Because it doesn't do you any good to give heed to the fool. Don't adopt the fool's teaching. So Paul wants us what? Not to be ignorant. In 2 Corinthians, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. See, the reason why Satan can't defeat us and the reason why Satan can't destroy us and because we have intel. We have good intel. We're not ignorant of how he operates. We're not ignorant of his modus operandi. And if you have a good pastor, if you have a good shepherd, that flock, the saints, should know how Satan operates. We are not ignorant of his modus operandi, of how he wants to run circles around dim-witted church folk. Paul says, that shouldn't happen to you. I was your pastor. Paul says, I was your pastor for 18 months. And not only that, but you have received two letters from me. Really, three, because one letter that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians, we don't know where that letter is. So Paul constantly wrote to the Corinthians so that they would not be ignorant. He says, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant on this subject, on that subject, on this here other subject, because God's people were given a book so that they would not be what? Ignorant. God has given his people intel so that they would not be called ignorant. And you begin to be ignorant when you begin to ignore. And constant ignoring will turn you into an ignoramus. So the first thing we have to do, in order for you not to be part of this mystery of stupidity, you have to make up your mind and say, you know what, in 2017, I was ignorant about this, but no more, no mas. I am not going to be ignorant, because it's not God's will for me to be saying amen when they're saying that Lucifer is God and Jesus Christ is his son. I shouldn't be saying amen to stupid things, satanic things. I shouldn't be saying amen to doctrines of demons. I shouldn't be saying amen to the doctrines of seducing spirits. I should not be among the ignorant. So you have to take a stand, and you have to say, you know what? My bad. I was ignorant. You know what? I spent too much time in front of the TV and not enough time in what I was supposed to be doing. As a result, I was ignorant. Many times I just said, you know what? I'm going to ignore this. This is not relevant. This is not important. And the constant saying, this is not relevant, has made you ignorant. You have to determine, I am not going to be classified among what? The ignorant. Finally, in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 13, and Paul says this to the Romans, he says this to the Corinthians, he says this to the Thessalonians. It is a constant, when he writes letters, to tell the people he's writing to, I don't want you to be ignorant, therefore don't ignore this, don't ignore this. All of this stuff is important and relevant. In 1 Thessalonians 14, he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are in the grave. Sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So here Paul is going to talk about the rapture. He's going to talk about the dead in Christ. He doesn't want concerning the dead in Christ, he doesn't want us to be like the Catholics. Look how ignorant the Catholics are. Having masses to get people out of purgatory. I mean, it's abominable. But the Catholics are ignorant. Why? Because the Roman Catholic Church took away the Bible from Catholics. So they're ignorant. But it was never Paul's intention for anybody to be ignorant. He says, concerning those who have fallen asleep, concerning those who are in the grave. Let me tell you what God says about them, because I don't want you to be ignorant. So you have to, listen, folks, you have got to determine this year. You know what? This guy keeps ranting about the Roman Catholic invasion of the African American. Let me check these books out. Let me tune into his broadcast. Let me find out, because, you know, maybe I'm ignoring this stuff, but maybe I shouldn't. Maybe this guy isn't all that crazy. Number two. First, you have to determine not to be ignorant. And number two, you've got to search the scriptures. You have to search. Listen, stop searching magazines. Stop searching commentaries. Commentaries are fine. I have a massive library. I mean, I need a house for my library alone. That's how I'm not knocking commentaries. I have them all. Please. I'm not knocking, but listen, you need to search because the Bible tells us what we need to be searching. And here it is. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts, chapter 17. And in Acts 17, verse 11, Acts 17, verse 11, it tells you what you ought to be searching. Acts 17, 11, even before we search the internet, even before we search our favorite author, even before we search for our the radio broadcast that we prefer, even before searching that, this is what the Bible says. He says in Acts 17:11, Luke writes this. He says, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Remember, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Well, they were. And Paul says there was a group of people who lived in Berea. They're called the Bereans. They were in a different level altogether. Why? Because the Thessalonians ignored things, but not the Bereans. In that they received the word of God with readiness of mind. They wanted to hear what the preacher and teacher had to say, but they searched the scriptures daily. Some people only search the scriptures on Sunday. You see, the way to arrest stupidity in your life is to search the scriptures daily. The word search in Greek is anakrino, ana, means again and again and again, and krinos means to examine. So what do? They examined again and again and again the scriptures daily. Because search, anakrino, is a compound word, and search has nothing to do with the word daily, other than the fact that it's in the same sentence. They were going over the scriptures and examining the scriptures and examining the scriptures and examining the scriptures daily. And the idea of anakrino, to search, is not just to do it over and over again, but it's to do it over and over again in order to come to some verdict, in order to come to some determination, in order to come to some conclusion. So you're not searching the scriptures just to say, oh, I've been doing it all day. It's not just an exercise in futility. No, you're searching the scriptures in order to say, this is the conclusion of the whole matter concerning this particular doctrine. So you have to choose not to be ignorant, and then you have to search the scriptures. Again, it's wonderful to read Jackass Bishops, but Jackass Bishops is not your authority. The Bible is your authority, and that's what you should be. If you're reading Jackass Bishops every day, stop. You should read it once. You should read it twice, maybe three times. But Jackass Bishops is not the book that you're going to go to 3 and 4 times a day. No. After you read it a couple of times, that's it. Put it down. Put it on your shelf. That you should be searching over and over and over again. Examining over is the Bible. Search. They search the scriptures daily. Which means they did it a lot of times in one day, and then when the sun rose, they did it a lot of times on that day, and the next day when the sun rose, they did it. It was a habit of constantly searching the scriptures. So are you searching the scriptures? And then finally, Paul said, study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Let's go there. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. What does the word study mean? Well, the word study means to apply yourself. To apply yourself. To make it your discipline. To do it earnestly. To do it diligently. Study. In other words, you have to make it a lifelong career. You just can't search the scriptures for 1 year. You know how you can call in some places or you can write into some places and they'll send you a little program on how to read the Bible for the whole year. And some people do that whole program and they go through the whole Bible, and that's commendable. But then after that 1 year's over that they read the Bible, they say, that's enough. I already did it. I don't need to do it again. No. Paul says study. In other words, don't make this a one-year program. Make it a lifelong program. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Let God see you. Earnest, diligent research of his word. So number one, choose not to be ignorant. Number two, search the scriptures daily. And number three, study. Apply yourself to this craft and make this application lifelong. And that's how we're going to reverse the mystery of stupidity. Now, I conclude with this. Here's a guy by the name of Donald Trump. Here's Donald Trump. And he's going to be our 45th president in a few days. He's going to be our 45th president. And Donald Trump is a New Yorker. And he's supposed to be a real savvy businessman. And the saying is that, you know, you can't fool New Yorkers. New Yorkers have a lot of street sense. New Yorkers can see a con man coming. But guess what? Five out of the six people that Donald Trump is going to have with him praying on his inauguration day are all con people. Franklin Graham is a con man living off of his daddy's legacy. Billy Graham is known to be a closet Roman Catholic. Oh yes, he is. I'll do a broadcast on him one day and give you the history. So Donald Trump is going to have Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, from Samaritan's Purse, over there praying. Well, Franklin Graham isn't any better than his father. Then Donald Trump is going to have Wayne T. Jackson. Now, this is the bishop who, when he ordains other bishops, he puts a sheet over them, and he has them lie down on his stomach, and then he jumps on their backside on the floor. The bishop who's being consecrated is on the floor on his stomach, and Wayne T. Jackson is the guy who jumps on his backside. Then Donald Trump is going to have Cardinal Dolan. Now, Cardinal Dolan was the cardinal who oversaw Milwaukee, the pedophile scandal. And how did Cardinal Dolan handle the pedophile scandal in Milwaukee? Well, he covered up for the priest. And that's why now he's the Cardinal of New York. He did such a fabulous job. He did such a fabulous job in Milwaukee in covering up the pedophile scandal of the Roman Catholic Church that he was promoted and made Cardinal of New York. Who else? Who else is Donald Trump going to have? Well, he's going to have Samuel Rodriguez. He's a scam artist. Samuel Rodriguez is another prosperity gospel scam artist. And then finally, who's he going to have? Paula White. Paula White, of all people. Donald Trump is going to have her. So, folks, here's a guy who just won the presidency. Here's a guy who had the smarts. He had the smarts to outmaneuver. He had the smarts to outmaneuver all of 16 political rivals who were on the same platform with him. He outmaneuvered each one of the candidates for the Republican nominee. He outmaneuvered all those guys. He outmaneuvered the Democratic Party. He outmaneuvered the Republican Party. And yet he is so dopey. He is so stupid. And that he's going to have five of the worst people he could have. And that just proves my point. The mystery of stupidity is already at work. And even Donald Trump, who supposedly is a Christian, he could not outsmart the mystery of stupidity. Why? Because instead of reading his Bible, he listens to Paula White. Paula White is supposedly his top spiritual advisor. Folks, if Paula White is your top spiritual advisor, you're stupid. Because she's stupid. So the mystery of stupidity is in full swing. And we'll leave it there. I'll be back tomorrow with another riveting broadcast. Please tell people about this broadcast. Tell them to tune in. Listen, we are in 2017. We're taking the gloves off. We're pulling no punches. Not that we ever did. But we're pulling no punches. We're taking the gloves off. And it's going to be a slugfest, and we're going to do what we need to do for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the sheep. I love you in the Lord. I'm praying for you. You pray for me. You pray for this broadcast. Tell others about the book, Jackass Bishop, and tune in tomorrow. And don't forget to promote Friday. Friday is a big day for us, starting at 7 p.m. God bless you. I love you in Jesus.